Weber's spirit and the spirit of revolution. Max Weber's contemplation of what he termed the spirit of capitalism and its religious antecedents and influences compelled him to examine a plethora of history, philosophy, religion, and of course, economics. That spirit of which he spoke, while not defined with acute specificity, found example in the ideas of Pennsylvania's Benjamin Franklin, a man known as a scientist, wit, playboy, and American revolutionary, who knew keenly from his past as a printer, craftsman, and businessman that a penny saved is a penny earned. He, as exemplar and advocate, was an early American voice of thrift, wealth building, and good old Yankee common sense. Weber's contemplations in this text seems to struggle at the well waters of that spirit in search of what gave life to what. When we consider the questions raised by him, we are forced to conclude that a ray of light comes from trying to reflect on just what the Protestant Reformation was in real terms, not to the elites, but to those who were emerging into a world where the former central organizing principle, that is, the Roman Catholic Church, was being resisted, denied, and broken away from by the masses of European workers and, perhaps to a lesser degree, its peasantry. We can sense some of that emancipatory energy when we consider that the Protestant Reformation was far more than a clerical movement that opposed Rome's temporal and spiritual power, and one might add, its hegemony. That is so because the Reformation was, strictly speaking, a revolution, and that it shattered previous forms of thought and feeling and of being in the world of 16th century Europe. In times of revolution, new ideas, especially those which may have seemed heretical, sprout like dandelions in spring. They arise in this new, open, hopeful time and give new impetus to those things that were submerged under the pre-revolutionary structures that obtained before. They permit new life in mind and body and spirit, and in how people literally live their lives. How could this accept the growing world of commerce? Weber senses this and even expresses it, hinting, quote, "The revolutionary process which is putting an end to old traditionalisms is still in full flow." Weber, 20. It is the very nature of revolutionary movements to energize those social forces that are submerged prior to its emergence. We forget that Marx and Engels, in the Communist Manifesto, determined that the bourgeoisie is itself the product of a long course of development, of a series of revolutions in the modes of production and of exchange. Marx and Engels, 14. Moreover, Marx and Engels go at least one step further, noting, quote, "the bourgeoisie historically has played a most revolutionary part," unquote. When the priest, Martin Luther, nailed his 95 theses to the church door in Wittenberg on October 31st, 1517, he had no real inkling that his act would spark a continental revolution, nor did he know how far and fast the flames of rebellion would explode, and what would happen to Mother Church. But as in the traditional fields of faith, such energies burst forth throughout mid-European society and had effects that few could foresee. The Reformation liberated human possibilities and unleashed social forces, not to mention economic forces, held in the hands of an emergent middle class. Revolutions are social-political infections which colonize all segments of society. The energies unleashed by the growth of the bourgeoisie gave birth to new ways of organizing labor and new ways of accumulating capital. In point of fact, capitalism, being an economic organizing principle, has no spirit, a fact Weber alludes to at page 36. But if it did, it would be unvarnished greed. For approaches to Comparative Cultural Studies 1, This is Mumia Abu-Jamal. Thank you.